Good evening. It's a good pleasure to be here. I appreciate all of you and all the input and help you've given in my life. Very thankful for you all. I have a few things here that I would like to briefly communicate to you. I'd like to start by saying thank you to my dad. Thank you, Dad, for your leadership, for leading me to the Lord always, or almost always, for leading me there when I felt like it and when I did not feel like it, when you felt like leading me there and when you did not feel like leading me there. Thank you. The best educational gift you could have ever given me. And for leading me through the practical, through the lens of a Christian worldview. For showing me the difference between how a Christian thinks and how a pagan thinks. For showing me the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. And for leading me to the Word of God for the answers of life. And for giving me a love for its pages and its truth and its theology. And for showing me how it applies to all areas of life. And for leading me in the practical issues of life, in business and in growing up and all the rest. You have given me a solid foundation to grow from, one which I trust, by the grace of God, I will be building upon for the rest of my life. I am who I am because of you, Dad. And to my mom, I'd like to say thank you, Mom, support. Our mom's great for that. For your love, for always being there for me, and for your support. I've had a hard time with learning to read and math and whatnot. You're always there for me. You always encourage me. Always try to convince me I wasn't as stupid as I thought I was. Thank you, Mom. You're the best. And to my siblings, I'd like to say thank you for the immense amount of sanctification you've given me. As well as the camaraderie. It's been a blessing growing up with you. And to the support of our grandparents who aren't here today, they've been a real blessing to have grandparents who sought to instill the values of our parents upon their grandchildren as well. And for all of you, for Christ's church, for the friendships in Christ and the encouragement in the Lord, I need you. And to my heavenly Father, for sovereignly electing me, not according to any goodness within me, but solely and wholly according to the richness of his grace, which he has dealt upon me, and for sending his Son to die for me, and imputing his blood upon my account, and adopting me into his family, and giving me a new nature, and for sanctifying me, for daily making me perfect in the image of Christ, and for that glorious but still future promise-fication of being made perfect together with God throughout all of eternity. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are all his ways and his judgments. They are past finding out. This is my cry. Let us think of who God is. God who is clothed in all regal splendor, all glory, all honor, all power, all might and dominion, all sovereignty, seated upon heaven's holy throne. And think of the angels crying out before him, holy, 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 almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And think of their cry, that the earth is full of his glory. This tiny, seemingly unimportant speck that is in the universe. And yet it should be the place where God has ordained his glorious name to reside. And think of him stooping to create man, making man in his own image, for drawing us from the dust of the earth. And when we rebelled against him, when we spit at his love, and when we jeered his mercy, and shunned his forbearance, and thus invoking the wrath of the eternal God on the human race, yet he promised to send a deliverer, one who would come and crush the dragon's head. And he gave us his law upon Sinai's mountain, his law to define life, his law as a tool of dominion, his law as a means to bring us to the truth, his law that we might know how to live. And when we spurned his law, he sent his prophets to show us how to live and to foretell the coming of that just one. And then in the foretelling, in the fullness of time, born under the law, born of a virgin. His son, the exact representation and image of his eternal glory, sent to earth to walk as we are, to become a man, to suffer, to bleed, to die in total agony upon a cross, and to shed his blood to redeem his bride, and rose again for their justification. And he promises to always be with us. And he gives us a mission, the Great Commission, and a future promise of trials and triumphs and of victories, and an eternity together with him. This is unfathomable love, my friends. This is perfect faithfulness. This is matchless grace. And this is perfect justice. This is the total awesomeness, if I may use the word, of our great and holy God. Therefore, we can trust his sovereignty. Even if the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. For we can trust Romans 8:28, which says, and we know. And that is a knowledgeable know. That is a certain know. Know that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And if this is so, if all things are being made together for our good, then we are the victors in this life. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. But in order to overcome, we must fight. And there is indeed a fight in this land. There is indeed a battle to be won in this world. Genesis 3:15 says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, Christ, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And he did it. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed crushed Satan underfoot, triumphing over sin, over death, and over this world. But still, the battle rages. For Christ reigns in the midst of his enemies. But we fight with a foe once conquered. Let us remember that. Let us remember when we feel the seemingly insurmountable weight of our adversary upon us, that we are fighting, we are striving, we are seeking to overcome an adversary that has once been defeated. And it is a war against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil. Against the world that is daily seeking to drag us into its mold. Against the world that is not yet been brought under subjection to Christ, against the world that is at enmity with God, and against the flesh, that which still resides within us, that which still must be brought under the blood of Christ, that which still must be daily mortified. And the devil, the arch enemy of God, and the antagonist of all true godliness. Oh, that we would be steadfast. Oh, that we would be immovable in this fight. And the cause of this fight is to take the whole world for Jesus Christ our King. As John Calvin remarked, to reduce the whole world to the obedience of Christ. This is my aim, therefore, not to live for myself, but to live for God and his kingdom. The purpose of our homeschooling, then, not for academics, as Mr. Hubler said very well, but in preparation to be sent forth like a valiant soldier for the King. And this is my mission. But what is the mission? Well, vision is where we want to go. It's where we want to be. It's where we want to end up. But mission is how we are going to get there. Our vision ought to be the same. Amen. Christ crowned Lord of all, in our hearts, in our personal lives, in Christ's church, and in the kings and kingdoms of the earth, Christ crowned, rights established. But God has given us each very different means of getting there, based upon our various gifts, our various callings, our duties, our God-given abilities, our male and female distinctivenesses. I'm not called to be a math teacher. And all the rest. But my prayer is that I would be found faithful to that specific mission, that specific stewardship that God has and by his grace will continue to give me. And with this, with God's people living victorious Christian lives for him, God will change this world. But without God, we are nothing in this fight. Indeed, we are less than nothing. We in ourselves are nothing, a small and feeble host, nor have we aught of prowess boast. Our stronghold is Christ Jesus. His strength alone we plead. His name our shield and banner. Himself, just all we need. We must then abide in Christ, for we are weak. We are nothing in ourselves. We must look to him for strength in this battle and to look to him alone. Let us think of the faithfulness of our God. He was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Isaac. He was faithful to Jacob. He was faithful to David. He was faithful to the prophets. He was faithful to Christ as he walked this earth. He was faithful to the reformers. He was faithful to the many martyrs. He was faithful to our forefathers. He was faithful to our fathers. And he will be faithful to us today. He will not let us down. Indeed, he cannot let us down. So then, let us not lose heart. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Oh, let us love him. Oh, let us persevere even until death, and he will give us the crown of life. Let us live for God wholeheartedly then in all that we do. Not waste our life. Let us remember that if we are not living for God in everything we do, then we are wasting the precious life that God has given us. He gave us everything we have. How dare we not use it for him? So let us start serving him now, for our time is short. 'Tis only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what is done for Christ will last. Not that we will never fail. We will fail. But when we fail, let us rise again. Let us remember that the strength of the Christian warrior is not gauged by the amount of times down flat, but by the amount of times when he is flat, he rises again to wage the strife. And let us rise, let us wage, for Christ will conquer. Even if the future looks grim, with wars and tyranny, unbelief, economic collapses, peril, betrayal, and the hardships of life, yet in spite of it, yes, even through it, we will win. Even if we don't live to see it ourselves, in the long run, we will be victors. And we are in this thing for the long haul. But the cross will win the day. And the victory of Calvary will be made. Revelation 12:10-11, my very favorite verse in all the Bible, says, "And they," that is we, us, the church of God, throughout all ages, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. The saints will, on earth, overcome, and the Lamb shall reign forever and ever and ever. And Philippians 2:10-11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those on heaven and of those earth, and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This will take place. The saints will be vindicated, and all evil men, Barack Obama, Donald Trump, well, it depends on your position, Hillary Clinton, the ISIS regime, European Union, and all else, will bow before our King. So why then should we fear? Why then should we fear when the very future belongs to the children of God. Psalm 125:1 says, those who trust are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Let us then fear God alone and bow the knee to none but Christ. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. This world that we're living in right now today. This world that is full of the enmity of God. This world that is totally antagonized to the truth. Still, our Father's world. And the battle, the seemingly epic battle that stemmed from the garden, that rages even today, that battle is not done. It ain't over. Jesus who died shall be satisfied. The Christ, the Lord of glory, who shed his blood to redeem his creation, will look upon his work and smile with satisfaction. And earth, with all of its evil, with all of its imperfections, and heaven, with all of its eternal weight of glory, shall be made one. It is then for this cause, to this aim, for this end, that we, all of us here, must pledge to give our hearts, our souls, our minds, our strength, our all, in that great and awesome service of our God and King. Let me end here quickly by reading from you from the Valley of Vision. The Valley of Vision is a collection of Puritan prayers and devotionals. O Lord, I bless thee that the issue of the battle between thyself and Satan has never been uncertain and will end in victory. Calvary broke the dragon's head, and I will contend with a vanquished foe who, with all his sublimity and strength, has already been overcome. When I feel the serpent at my heel, may I remember him whose heel was bruised, but who, when bruised, broke the dragon's head. My soul with inward joy extols the mighty conqueror. Heal me of any wounds in the great conflict. If my faith has suffered damage, if my hope is less than bright, if my love is not fervent, if some creature comfort occupies my heart, O thou, whose every promise is balm, every touch, life, draw near to thy weary warrior and refresh me that I may rise again to wage the strife and never tire until my enemy is trodden down. Give me such fellowship with thee that I may defy Satan, unbelief, the flesh, the world, with that comes not from a creature, and which a creature cannot mar. Give me a draught of the eternal fountain that lieth in thy immutable, everlasting love and decree. Then shall my hand never weaken, my feet never stumble, my sword never rest, my shield never rust, my helmet never shatter, my breastplate never fall, as my strength rests in the power of thy might. Let this be our cry. Let us remember that it's not about us. It's not about our kingdom. It's not about our lives. It's not about what we deem important. It's not about our education. It is about God. It is about advancing his kingdom in the earth for his glory. Thank you.